reading to you from the Second Timothy, the third chapter, in the first verse. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into household and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One year later, God called me to preach, and I've been telling people about Jesus ever since. Yesterday, my wife and I had such a wonderful time. There's a pastor friend of mine, and his wife has cancer, breast cancer. We would have had lunch with him, and we met with two other couples who was a preacher's. His daddy was a preacher. We had such a wonderful time. When Christians get together, there's much to say. I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and with the 16th verse. All scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Father in heaven, I do ask for a special blessing on this message tonight. There are so many denominations out there, and they're all preaching different things, and they say that's their interpretation right now. Lord, we have two or three homosexual pastors who are pastoring churches here in Denver, Colorado. And God, they're telling lies. They tell people that you made them that way, which we know is not true. You told them a man with man, and they're not going to see heaven. Oh God, I pray that you'll help me to speak tonight with love, with compassion, because Lord, we once were lost in sin, and we were so lost we didn't know where to go. But then you led me to a pastor that knew Jesus. And oh God, I know that he led hundreds and hundreds of men to Christ, and he taught me to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which I've tried to do. Oh, I've made a lot of mistakes, Lord. And I'll never be a great preacher, but oh, I want to tell men and women what Jesus did for me. And God, anybody that has an alcoholic problem, you can solve it. Psychiatrists can't do it. Medication can't do it. Only Jesus. Bless this message, and we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Label this, the Bible is the Word of God. And the greatest question of all, is the Bible really the Word of God? If not, we're just wasting our time. It's just like the resurrection. Had not Jesus come forth from the tomb, we would have nothing to say, because Jesus conquered death and hell. And through his resurrection and through his death in Calvary, you and I have the right to become the sons and daughters of God. And without it, friends, you don't stand a prayer. Well, if so, nothing else even compares in importance. We believe the Bible to be the verbally inspired Word of God. Why? Because of its unity and perfection. What a great library it is. Over 40 different authors. writing over a period of 1,600 years, all agreeing on one central theme. You know, dear friends, many years ago, I was preaching a revival over in Duluth, Minnesota, in a rescue mission, believe it or not. And I took one of my men that was in our mission with me. And on the way back, we were driving along in the car about midnight, and we were listening to a preacher on the radio. And he was saying a lot of good things and using a lot of good scripture. But then at the end, he said, except you be baptized, you can't go to heaven. Now, that is a lie out of hell. Beloved, some of you right now have been baptized or sprinkled when you was a child in the Catholic Church, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of Christ. But I want you to know, baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Oh, it has a lot to do with your obedience, but nothing to do with your salvation. You're baptized because you have been saved, not to be saved. Well, this is a lie. And so this lost man that was with me said to me, he said, what was wrong with that message? It wasn't right. There was something hollow. I said, because the preacher was lying. He said that you had to be baptized to get into heaven. But I said, if that were so, then why did Jesus tell us about the two thieves that were hanging on the cross with him? Now, the one man denied Jesus and made fun of Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, you come down. If you saved others, come down off the cross. Save yourself. But the other man said to this guy, he said, we are here because we did wrong. They were thieves. He said, this man has done no wrong. And then he said, Lord, Lord, my stars. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, the gentleman never, never was baptized. He had never joined a church. He had never taken the Lord's Supper. But Jesus said, from this day forth, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, who do you believe? Do you believe that guy that said you got to be baptized? Or do you believe Jesus, the Son of God, that said, you'll be with me in paradise? That is the Word of God, unerring Word of God. Well, compared to any other literature, this book is a giant. The great classics shrink beside it. Now, the Book of Cults do not compare to it. No contradictions. It's always right. How many times in my life have I heard people say, well, I can tell you a contradiction in the Bible. Now, I have read things in the Bible that would seem to me like it would be a compromise or it wasn't right or a contradiction. But if you read it, you read before the Scripture and read, you know, a lot of people pick out one verse of Scripture and they use that. Instead of looking at the thing and the whole, who said it? When was it said? Who did it tell about? Well, you see, the Bible said that we're not to trust everybody and to try the spirits and see if they're of God or a man. I many, 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 many times in my Christian life, I've been in somebody's home or somewhere witnessing to them, and I'll be thumbing through my Bible as I'm witness to him, and he'll ask me a question. I do not have any idea what the answer was. I did not. And I said, that's a good question. We'll look it up. And I'll be a monkey's uncle all of a sudden as I'm thumbing through the Bible. Here will be a scripture. It'll jump out right at you. That's God's Holy Spirit directing you to that scripture. And I'd give them the answer. But beloved, the reason people don't do much witnessing, because they're afraid they don't know enough about the Bible. Listen, friends, there's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand, nor does the greatest Bible scholars. They said Peter and John were ignorant, unlearned men, but they knew they'd been with Jesus. Friends, if you've got Jesus, you've got it all. God's Holy Spirit comes into your heart the minute you accept Christ and repent of your sins. Then he writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Now you are the son or a daughter of the King. And you have all rights to come to him. If you want to come to him in faith, you can come and ask him anything you want. Now, a lot of people, you know, did you hear about the guy that called a suicide line and it was, the line was busy? You will never in your lifetime, beloved, if you know Jesus, talk to the Lord in prayer or ask him anything, will there ever be a busy signal. Day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can talk to the Lord about your problems. Some of you tonight are about to lose your home, or you're about to lose your job, or you don't know what, or you've been diagnosed as with cancer or something. You're scared spitless. Beloved, I can tell you, you need to come to Jesus and ask him. Tell him that you're afraid. Don't pussyfoot around you. Tell him, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm losing my... Lord, help me. Now, I'm going to tell this story again. I hope you don't get tired of it. But I did owe $5,000. And I didn't have any money. Nor didn't have any job. And so I read in the Psalms where he said the psalmist fell down on his knees and cried out to God and asked him for some help. I did just that. I wept. I was so, I didn't know. There was no hope. I was going to lose my home. I was going to lose my car. I didn't know what to do. The next morning I got up. I knew that prayer went through, by the way. That next morning I got up and I called a friend of mine. I've known him for years. I used to do a lot of work for him when I was contracting. And I said, Charlie, I want you to do me a favor today. And he said, what's that, Mo? I said, I want you to pray for me today. What's the problem? I said, I never told you the problem. I said, I want you to pray for me. I have a very special need today. And he said, is it money? I said, well, I couldn't lie to him. I said, well, as a matter of fact, it is money. But I said, I didn't call to ask you for money, or I've never done that, and so I'm not going to know. He said, how much money are you talking about? I said, $5,000. He said, okay, I'll call you back in 15 minutes. I said, hey, I didn't call to borrow any money. I couldn't pay it back if I had to. No, I'm not wanting to borrow any money. I knew he had it. But I sure wasn't going to borrow none. He called me back 15 minutes. He said, hey, I got a job for you. I said, I don't have any equipment. I'm retired. I can't do this. I don't know what. He said, I'll tell you what. You get that equipment. You get the work. And you get your bin together. And you do this job. The next day, beloved, there was a check for $5,000 in my mailbox. Did you know I did that job? I not only paid back the $5,000, but I made an extra $5,000 because I believe God. You have not because you ask not. That's what he said. If you have a need, you have a right to talk to him. I'm not going to say that God's going to send you a $5,000 check. I'm not going to do that. But God has ways of helping you when you ask. And this is a promise from the Bible, the Word of God. One thing about the Bible is because it fulfilled prophecy. Oh, my stars, the many, many prophecies. The empires of Daniel's prophecy, my stars. See, Daniel is a great book. You remember when they threw him in the lion's den? Best night's sleep old Daniel ever had in his life. And he defied those kings by pulling back the blind of his window and knelt and prayed toward Jerusalem, and that's something he was not allowed to do. If he did, he would be killed. So they threw him in the lion's den. Then there was Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Now that's in the Bible. Now when they put those three boys in that fire, they looked in and they said, didn't we put three in there? Yeah. Well, there's four in there. Well, Jesus was in the fire with him. Friends, I don't care what your problem is. Jesus will go with you through it if you are a son of God. If you're a child of the King, he'll go with you through that fire. Now, there was a lot of prophesied concerning the birth of Jesus, and I read in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." His birth was in Bethlehem in a horse barn. Didn't have no room for him at the inn. And beloved, there's just a lot of churches, even today, that don't have room for Jesus. They've got programs. They've got things to make money. They sell books. They sell Bibles to make money. And you know what? If Christians would quit robbing from the Lord, did you know what? They would never have to ask for money. But the Christians don't do that. They think a preacher's job is to get money. Well, I got news for you. You never heard me ask you for money, and I don't ask for money. Why? Because God said he'd take care of me. My Lord, my Lord shall supply your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. And he does. The Bible speaks of the place of his birth. And in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is a tremendous chapter, his rejection and his death. And prophecies concerning the last day. Did you know, dear friends, if you read the Bible, every prophecy that you in the Old Testament has been fulfilled in the New Testament, with the exception of one thing, the second coming of Christ. Now, he is coming again, beloved. Yes, he is. And two's going to be out in the field and one will be taken. Well, he's coming soon, and I mean real soon. Would I put a date on his coming? Of course not. If I did, I'd be a false prophet. Oh, there's been denomination after denomination, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah. Oh, many people have prophesied the coming of the Lord, right to the day and the hour. He never came back, because only God the Father knows when Jesus shall return. That's correct. Well, And then we have the prophecies concerning the last days. And we have a lot of things right now that would make you think that it could be today or tomorrow. And it could. But boy, howdy, I'm not going to put a date on it, because I don't do that. This Bible speaks about the return of the Jews to their homeland. And you know they did. They came back and they made a nation out of it. And the rise of Russia, because of its scientific accuracy, the Bible is not primarily a book of science, yet when it speaks on a scientific fact, it is right. Let's read about the creation, Genesis 1:26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and all ever-creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Then he says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed in it in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Well, friends, and yeah, I'm dirt. No, I was come out of dust. Now that's a miracle. Oh, dear friends, that is a miracle, the creation of man. And then he said it wasn't good for man to live alone. So, he caused him to have a wife. He put him to sleep. That's the only first anesthesia in the Bible. He put Adam to sleep. And he removed for him a rib. And let's read it in 2:12. "Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. So he slept. Then he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. For this cause man shall," listen to this, "for this cause man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." No, not man with man, woman with woman, but woman with man. Friends, see now, these homosexuals, they'll tell you, "Oh, it's all right. God made us that way." That's not true. You know, God didn't make me an alcoholic. I did it myself. I didn't start out to be an alcoholic, but boy, howdy, I ended up that way. And while I was having lunch, my wife and I were this preacher yesterday and his friend. I said, you know what? It's so wonderful. I'm so glad I was an alcoholic. And their eyes got kind of big. I said, listen, had I not been an alcoholic and God saved me and forgave my sins, I would never have the compassionate heart that I have on lost people today. I'm not only concerned about alcoholics, dear friend. I'm concerned about everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's lost and don't know Jesus. That's the truth. Well, the Bible tells us that there's life in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is a blood by reason of the life that makes atonement at one moment. Oh, listen. You know how long it takes to save a person? Just as quick as you can say, I'm sorry, and repent, and God will save you. Zacchaeus was up in a sycamore tree, and he got saved by the time he left the limb until the time he hit the ground. Well, because of its accuracy guaranteed by Jesus Christ, listen, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall never pass away. The scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures must be fulfilled, and the things men believe in the Bible are confirmed by Christ. Number one, the creation. How about Noah? Out there and preaching for over 100 years, and men would not repent. Only 8 people were saved through that flood. That's all. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? What a terrible thing. Do you know why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Because of homosexuality, because of sexual sins. That's correct. Jonah. Oh, he spoke about being in the grave 3 days. Jonah was in that old fish for 3 days, stinking like a dog. Well, it does work, because it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That happened in Acts. Then the Bible talks about a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Well, this Bible is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Let the Word work in you. Turn it loose in life. Respond to His teaching, and I'll guarantee you, you'll live a better life. You say, Cecil, I don't even know Jesus. Well, I got news for you. Do you want to know Him? Do you have a tugging at your heart right now? Oh, friend, if you do, it's God's Holy Spirit drawing your heart. You say, but Cecil, I don't understand it. Nor did Nicodemus, nor did Cecil Moe. But I did when I got on my knees and asked Him to forgive me and come in my heart. Then I knew it was real, because I sobered up that day. I got a peace that I never understood, and I still don't understand. Well, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know Him today, would you bow your head at me just for a moment? And this is a prayer. Please don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. I only concern where you spend eternity. Don't care where you go to church. If you can't afford that call, call collect. I'll accept it. 303-471-8534. Time, 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Oh, Lord, they need someone. I can't help making this my prayer. Lord, wherever I may be, keep me pure, keep me clean, so that you might be seen. Let your love flow through me.
Well, folks, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moen. Thank you, dear friends, for listening. Please continue to pray for my health and my wife and I. We're hoping to be able to come to the West Coast. I got two or three churches I can share Christ in and a prison. I tell you, dear friends, there's nothing in the world more exciting than to serve the Lord. There's no boredom in this. And you know, it's not just for preachers. Every Christian has a job to do. You should be witnessing and doing personal evangelism. That's what you're here on this earth for. Not just to get rich and get fat, but it's to serve the Lord. Well, listen, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.